Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. When someone asked Jesus, what's the most important thing in the whole Bible? Jesus didn't hesitate. Love God. We pray this season of the podcast will help you and your loved ones grow in love for God.
Well, this is our final week of this season of the Food for Your Soul podcast on loving God. On Monday, we have something special for you that will be a little different. You've heard me mention the book Deeper Knowledge of God during this series. That's a daily devotional on the attributes of God that is devoted to learning how to experience God's presence on a daily basis by enjoying His attributes. That devotional will show you how to take the principles in these podcasts and put them into practice in your daily life. But today, I want to let you know about a second daily devotional that I've written. The old one is called Deeper Knowledge of God. This new one is titled Lost in Prayer, Communing with God by Contemplating His Word. It's designed to help you pray and meditate on God's Word without getting distracted. I don't know about you, but distraction is by far the greatest enemy in my prayer life. And so I wrote this devotional for myself. You can get a copy if you want, but really it's for me. The print and Kindle versions are already available, but as of the time I recorded this, the audio version still isn't out. Hopefully, it'll be out by the time you hear this. You can find out about all the versions and how to order on drichardferguson.com. That website has all the books on there that are available, drichardferguson.com. So next week, you'll get a free sample of this devotional. Each day next week, I plan to play one chapter from that devotional so you can get a feel for it. So don't miss that starting Monday, but for today, we've still got a little more work to do on the Holy Spirit. Our topic for today, what does Scripture mean by grieving the Holy Spirit, and how can we avoid doing that?
To enjoy fellowship with the Spirit and produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life by keeping in step with the Spirit on a moment-by-moment basis, and one of our biggest motivations for actually doing all that is the fact that if we don't do it, it grieves Him. It grieves Him. And this brings us to another principle on how to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve Him. The Greek word for grieve, it's just like the English word. It's reserved for extreme sorrow. It's not. We don't usually use the word grieve to refer to small little sorrows. We use it grieving to usually refer to the loss of a loved one. Somebody dies and you grieve. Right? Big time grief. So it's a very strong word, and I think this is interesting. What he's saying here is, you know how you feel if someone you really love dies? Don't make the Holy Spirit feel like that. That's what he's saying. Don't do that to the Holy Spirit. And one thing that teaches us is that the Holy Spirit is a person. Okay? Holy Spirit's a person. He is not just some force or some influence or ideal or life principle floating between the molecules somewhere. He's a person who feels emotion. He feels emotions like pleasure and grief and sorrow and anger and all of the rest. Joy. There's emotion. And of all the different motivations that Paul could have appealed to for why we need to keep in step with the Spirit, he chooses this one. He says, obey Him in order to avoid causing grief to His heart. It's very important that when we obey a person, not a set of rules. You understand that? Make your obedience personal. Make it personal. Following a rule and conforming to the will of a person are two very different things. Obeying a rule is not necessarily an act of fellowship with God. It's obeying a law. Obedience to His Word is an act of fellowship with Him when there's an awareness. He's right here. He's here in the room. And He has certain desires for how I should behave. And He wants me to do certain things. And I want to align myself with His desires. That's obedience that's actual fellowship. That kind of obedience is like a conversation. It goes back and forth. The Spirit speaks to you by bringing to your mind a principle from His Word, and you respond to Him with a willing attitude that says, because you want me to do this, I'm eager to do it. That's the conversation of obedience. That's fellowship with the Spirit. One of the best things that can ever happen in your life is when you stop thinking of the Holy Spirit as a doctrine and start interacting with Him as a person. I think that's one of the biggest tasks we have to teach men who come up out of seminary. We got to get them off of thinking of the Spirit as a set of doctrines and bring them to a point of interacting with Him as a person. You know, and that's not to disparage doctrine. Doctrine's crucial, absolutely critical. You cannot know the person without the doctrine. But the purpose of learning the doctrine is always to increase your love for the person. Do you love the Holy Spirit? He loves you. He really does. He's praying for you. He's interceding for you with God. He's using all of His considerable influence with the Father to gain benefits for you. Because He loves you. He's the one who, when you first became a Christian, when your eyes first opened to see the truth, that was Him. He was with you then. That was Him. I mean, when you was spiritually, when you first came alive, the first person you had any interaction with was the Holy Spirit. He's the one that enabled you to believe. It was the Holy Spirit that set you free from the law of sin and death, Romans tells us. Anytime you've felt peace in your heart, anytime you've ever felt peace in your heart, that was the Holy Spirit. Learn to love Him. Any spiritual life or strength or health or motivation, that was Him. That was Him. Every temptation you've ever resisted, that was Him holding up your feeble arms and your weak knees in battle. Every time you knew which way to go, you knew the right thing to do. That was Him turning on the lights. Every time something about God, some truth about God, delighted you instead of bored you, that was Him doing that. Every good thing that you've ever done was by His empowerment. That was you experiencing His empowering. And someday, when Jesus returns and that trumpet sounds and your body is a cold, decaying corpse in the ground somewhere, it will be the Holy Spirit who's going to be the one who's going to bear His mighty arm and raise you from the dead and give you a redeemed, glorified body that's capable of enjoying paradise with the Lord forever. It's the Holy Spirit. Well, in everything that we've said about interacting with God, in this whole study, fellowship with God, there's one topic that I haven't really touched on, and that is worship. I haven't mentioned worship. I wanted to leave that for the end, so we can wrap up this whole study about loving God with a final word about worship. What is worship? How would we define worship? Worship is this. Worship is any act that honors God as God. Any act that honors Him as God. The biblical word for worship, sometimes people think it's worship is singing. You know, we talk about the worship time and we're talking about the singing time or the worship team or something. Worship doesn't mean sing. The word worship, now singing is an important way to express worship. Singing is not worship. Worship only can take place in the heart, but we use the mouth to express what's in the heart. So singing is not worship. What is worship? The biblical word for worship literally means to get on your face before God. Get on your face. The Hebrew word shaha is to bow down or do obeisance. The Greek word proskuneo means to prostrate yourself, flat on your face before God. That's worship. That's what the biblical words mean. They have to do with when you do something with your body that is designed to honor Him as God. See, because you don't do that stuff before anybody but God. You only do that before God. So it's when you do something to honor Him as God. Interesting thing, you don't see those words very much in the epistles. Very rarely do you see the word worship in the epistles. Because the agenda of the writers of the epistles is to emphasize the fact that worship must come from the heart. They don't want to emphasize a physical word, a word that points to a physical action, because they're pointing out the fact that external-only religion is worthless, garbage. All true worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. It has to be in the heart. And empty ritualism and ceremonialism, and that's worse than worthless. All that's junk. And so they're trying to emphasize that, so they don't point to the physical part. So when you put those two things together, the fact that worship is honoring God as God, like bowing on your face before Him, and the other part, that worship has to be internal, it has to come from the heart, then you've got the core of the biblical teaching on worship. That's what basically what worship is. And I think that pointing that out is a good way to wrap up our thoughts on fellowship with God, because everything that we've said through this whole series, all this talk about drawing near to God and relational intimacy with God and closeness with the Lord, and when we talk like that, there's actually a danger that of becoming over familiar with the Lord to the point where we lose our reverence. So when we talk about all those things, we need to remember, you know, we talk about intimacy, but we also need to remember God is God. He's God. He's awesome. He's the Almighty before whom angels tremble and cover their faces. He's the one who looks at the earth and it shakes, and He touches the mountains and they smoke. He's the awesome one. He is awesome and terrifying and worthy of the deepest reverence and fear. When we approach the Father, do we call Him Abba, Dad, and just boldly come into His presence as His children? Yeah, we do. We do. But we also fall on our knees in worship and awe. Both. Is Jesus our brother? Yes, He is. But He's also our God and our King before whom we bow in humble reverence. This is why when I say the word Jesus, I like to have titles, the Lord Jesus Christ, instead of just saying Jesus all the time. I don't want to become overly familiar. He's our King. He's our God. Is the Holy Spirit our comforter and our friend? Yes. But He's also the mighty Spirit of the living God who, when Ananias and Sapphira lied to Him, He struck them dead on the spot. He is the one, the Holy Spirit is the one, if you blaspheme Him, you can never be forgiven, ever, in this life or in the life to come. Draw near to God. Draw near to God and commune with Him in confidence and joy, and have the sweetness of intimacy with Him, but also tremble before Him in reverent fear.
Thank you for listening. We would love to hear from you. Your thoughts about the materials in these studies are important to us, and they may be helpful for others as well. A link to this podcast is posted on the Food for Your Soul Facebook page every weekday morning. You're invited to follow that page and post your reactions to that day's content. Your perspectives might be just what someone else needs to gain insight. And when a session is especially helpful, feel free to click on the share button so others can find it too.
This content has been provided to you free of charge by the generous supporters of Food for Your Soul Ministries. For information on how you can support Food for Your Soul, visit us online at treasuringgod.com. There you'll find over 1,000 sermons, as well as articles, books, and many other resources, all available for free download.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.